Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, normally at this time of year, we speak to Tony Callahan, the organiser of the World Pie Eating Championships that take place in Harry's Bar in Wigan. But yeah, he's had problems this year, as you'll discover, and he told us a little bit about that.
But he's gone to the top, hasn't he?
He couldn't go any higher to try and get it on. We also had a chat with Martin Kellner, who brought us a week of sport on TV, and Mike Ward looked at the non-sporting telly. And, of course, we caught up and had a bit of a chat as well.
We did.
So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I've managed to watch quite a bit of football this week, and a couple of observations that have really got nothing to do with the matches.
Okay.
I've been wondering why Tammy Abraham, the Chelsea striker,
Not the plumber,
struggles in the air so much. And I think I've come up with a solution. Yeah. He's got a very shiny forehead. It's like a skid pan. The ball slides off it.
So I think that never stopped Alan Gilzean, one of my heroes of my youth.
Did he have a slidey forehead?
Oh, he had a virtually bald pate, didn't he?
I thought he had some traction.
It would pick up speed off of his bumps, off of his shiny forehead.
I've got the theory that he should either borrow Petacek's helmet, if you'll pardon the expression, and Eric Black's absorbent headband. And he'd be like Nat Loftus, so he'd have a bullet in.
Yeah, well, maybe a headband wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah,
seriously, yeah. I've never seen... He missed another couple again.
Yeah.
And I always struggle doing a Liverpool accent.
Well, you can always play Olivia Giroud.
Yeah,
that's an alternative.
Oh, that's the other option,
really?
I always struggle... I can do lots of accents, but I can't do a Liverpoolian accent.
I can do lots of
150, actually, when I once counted it up. But there we go. We won't go into that.
But all of them sounded like John Arlott.
They all sound like Roy Hodgson.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's right. And he does loads of impressions that all start, well, you know, every one of them exactly the same.
Well, they are exactly the same. Yeah, that's very true. But I can't do a Scouse accent, so I'm very grateful to Steve McManaman, who called...
Well, he can. He does quite a decent one.
Borussia Mönchengladbach. He insisted on calling, really, Liverpooling it up. He called it Mönchengladbach.
He gives it that, so it helps.
I enjoyed the...
all those years ago in that World Cup, there was a Mexican player. We were chatting to John Bishop about it all those years ago. There was a player that was destined to go to Liverpool called Gerardo Corrado.
Gerardo Corrado.
Why did he never sign? Why did he never sign?
I've absolutely... Well,
I can't
no
do
idea.
One either, obviously.
Keep going. I very much enjoyed David Ginola's film on the BT film on Bosman.
I've not seen it. I've recorded it.
I don't know if Martin's seen it.
Martin may well bring it up today.
I've heard it's a brilliant documentary. Very good. And Ginola is a brilliant interviewer and really perceptive, not just interviewing, but actually adding sort of really a different perspective on it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It's a fascinating story. Now, we must turn our attention to yesterday's... birthday spread, what a debacle it was.
Well, it wasn't really. I mean, you know, we laughed, we cried. In case you missed it, our maths wasn't great, myself and Max. Andy set us a birthday spread. And our producer, really, for someone who was at school about 6 months ago, I mean, his was pathetic. I mean, he did it. The way he kept telling us very forcefully what the score was. And we both knew he was wrong, but we just let him get on with it.
I basically didn't know what was going on. The only thing that was familiar to me was the silence that greeted my gags.
Yeah. That's the only thing that told us it was a normal birthday.
I've come up with a way of scoring that I think will work. Okay. So here it goes, right? So basically, let's, for example, say it's Dolly Parton.
Yeah, Dolly Parton's birthday, yeah, 71.
This is funny, that's what I think predicted you'd say. I make a joke, pardon my enthusiasm, some Larry David
pardon
thing.
The interruption.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you say 71, Max says 75, and say she's actually 70, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes you...
One out,
and he's 5 out,
yeah.
So you're 4-0 up. So after round one, you're 4-0 up.
Okay.
Next round...
Like this, yeah.
Yes, it's the heart surgeon, Magdi Yacoub. Hawksby and Yacoub, something like that, yeah? Then you say 81.
Yeah, okay.
Max says 73, but he's 71. So you're 10 out, Max is 2 out. That's 8 to him. So it's now 8-4 to Max after two rounds.
And this is simplifying the whole thing,
that's
you claim.
A lot.
Look, we'll try the patent Duckworth-Lewis
The compiling it when you go week. Along is just... You know,
yeah, I mean,
it was a lot of fun.
We'll do it again next Thursday. Andy will be with us Monday, and then he returns.
I watched your game last night.
I'm sorry, I wasted about 50 minutes of your time. all you neutrals out there.
I thought Bale's free kick. I thought it was interesting that it doesn't. It shows you you never lose that ability. You lose your ability to burst past people.
Hmm.
But that free kick that's the sort of thing only he can do. I think
it was interesting hearing Glenn Hoddle and Owen Hargreaves talk about it after the game and saying that he doesn't trust his body yet, Bale. And I think you watch that and I think they're right. He doesn't completely trust that if he puts the afterburners on, if he still can, that he's not going to pull something.
Yeah.
So it's going to take him a while to come back. I did feel for him and Winks and Vinicius. And, I mean, there's no room for sentiment and all that. And Jose knows what he's doing because they went on to win the game. They scored a second goal and made it safe. But... to give them another 5 or 10 minutes on the pitch, to take them straight off after two of them had a hand in a goal and Winks had not played badly. But, you know, like he said, he doesn't expect people to be happy. And all the time they're winning, no one will ever question that. Although I was slightly questioning it when he brought Son on and Son got clattered on the Achilles and started limping about.
Great.
I thought, here we go, that's 6 months out.
It was difficult for Vinicius. He scored, but the timing of his runs, maybe he'd be offside a bit more. Blimey.
Yeah. So, I think he's decent, though. I think twice I've seen Antwerp play, and look, they're not the greatest team in the world, but they did make it tough for Spurs. I think they did. They closed down really well and they sort of hunted in packs. They were really fit.
I thought
they were quite decent, actually. Well, they weren't.
Well, it's good to top the group, though.
Yeah, it certainly is. It should make life a bit
easier. This is an old reference. Benson, their player Benson. As far as I know, he's not a butler.
Yeah, that's good if you remember.
When was that?
Soap, yeah.
Then the spin-off series, Benson.
Benson, very good series, funny series.
Yeah.
So, you may have seen today that Patrick Bamford said to Marcelo Bielsa, is there any strikers you think I should watch? Are there any players out there you think I could learn from? And which you think is a good thing to do. And he was impressed with the fact that, though he's an experienced player, he still wants to learn. He said, not all players are like that. So Bielsa said, Erling Haaland, definitely. A Borussia Dortmund, who's a kid, basically. So
it's a bit
tough for the ego, you would think. But Bamford apparently took it on and he's been watching him.
Yeah.
So, and look, you know, you could speak to any professional footballer, I'm sure, and they'd say, oh, that was the person that I wanted to be. That was the person that I watched. I watched lots of videos of them. I felt they were closest to my playing style. So what we'd like from you this afternoon is an opportunity to be ridiculed by your regular Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning teammates by telling us who you have based your game on. So if you played football, any sport, cricket, who did you watch and who would you say you most closely resemble when you've watched it? Because ideally I want you to turn up tomorrow afternoon or Sunday morning and say, here he comes, Franco Baresi. Hopefully you'll get some clog at the end of this, but have you seriously tried to model your game on someone else? If you want to share those with the class and heap derision on yourself this weekend as you meet up with your teammates.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You've been telling us about the players you modelled yourself on after Patrick Bamford was told to watch Erling Haaland by Marcelo Bielsa. Watch some videos. A nice story came in from Shem. Let me bring this to you now. He sent this on Twitter. He said, first, lovely to hear Andy back. He said, my first manager's job, I set myself the target of being like Fergie. One Friday night, I drove around a couple of players' houses like Fergie did with Giggs and Sharp, and there were a lot of players going into this player's house one Friday evening, so I thought my time had come. So I banged loudly on the door, and when one of our boys opened it, I let rip with the full hairdryer. It was only halfway through the rant that he said, it's not actually a party, it's a wake for one of the boys' grandparents.
Oh dear.
A bit awkward.
A bit awkward.
Oh yeah, dear me.
Well, you're definitely awkward. It's
so,
good.
On to the World Pieing Championship. Normally this time of year, we have a chat with Tony Callahan, who organises the World Pieing Championships in Wigan. But this year looks like it's off, although he has written to the Prime Minister. I know he's trying to get a Brexit deal, but he really should get his priorities right, I think.
I'd say so, yeah.
Tony, good afternoon.
Afternoon, are you well?
Yeah, we are. We look forward to our chat and finding out who won the World Pieing Championship and all the preparations, but... Yeah. It's not happening, is it?
Well, not yet. I've written to Boris. I've written him a nice letter.
Yeah.
And asking for dispensation because, obviously, it's an elite sport. We've been doing it for 20-odd years. Mm. And, you know, he's let football come back, rugby, etc. And I think he should let this sport come back.
You say it's not just an elite sport. There's another loophole you think you've spotted in pie eating as an elite sport, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, what we're asking is, listen, Boris, it's something we've been doing. There's enough doom and gloom. Let our sport continue. It's once a year.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy to do all the COVID ruling and do everything as we should do.
Well, I mean, also, it involves a substantial meal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, effectively, they are. You're not breaking any rules having a substantial meal.
No, and I'm quite happy to do it on a car park on Wallgate down from the pub. So I'm quite happy. You know, I don't want to do it with the Zoom. I explained to him if I did it with the Zoom, people might cheat. But I'm worried about people in Bolton won't really know what Zoom is. They might think it's a nightclub.
Well, are you in Tier 3 up there? Is that the problem?
We
yes.
are.
Yeah, you are. Okay,
you know,
that is unfortunate.
Sad.
So you can't even hold it? Because I'd imagine outside socially distanced wouldn't be a problem. You'd imagine that would be fine.
Well, you would have thought, but I thought, you know, with having a chain of pubs, I thought I've got to do it correctly. And I thought I'd write to the boss man himself and ask his permission, because I don't want to be breaking any rules and putting anybody in any danger on a very serious note. So I thought I would write and ask permission to do it. I've had an acknowledgement that they've received my email, but obviously he's got a few important things going on at the moment.
Presumably, I mean, we've heard a lot about people who are suffering, but I imagine even the pie makers themselves, they probably haven't sold as many pies as they normally would.
Well, there's so many pie shops, you know, closed at the moment, which is very sad, like a lot of other businesses. So it's affected every part, you know, it's affected the hospitality industry beyond belief. But we are going to come back, you know, we've got to be bigger and stronger when we come back. And hopefully we can get the pie eating competition done. If not, we're going to have to do it when we're out of lockdown and all this situation's over with.
I'm surprised you didn't stray into the World Scotch Egg Eating Championships this year because they've been all the rage, haven't they?
It's true.
Can you imagine? They'd have let me do the World Scotch Egg Eating Championship.
Yeah, they would
have said, get on with it, Tony. We've been helping them, you know. Get on with it. Scotch eggs. Can you believe that? Scotch eggs, huh?
Well, I mean, do you sell a lot of those in Harry's? Do you sell a lot of Scotch eggs there, or...?
Not many Scotch eggs, no. Might be meat and potato pie. Yeah. I don't think they'd know what to do with a Scotch egg.
No, it's like a shot put.
So what about the competitors, that, you know, the people who take part year in, year out? What have they said to you? They're probably really missing it.
They've obviously all been contacting the management at the bar, and they're not happy bunny rabbits because they've been in training, you know, for 12 months.
That's a good point.
So they've all been in training for the competition, and then the competition isn't going to happen. So they're not happy. So, you know, you're trying to keep everybody happy throughout and have this competition. And, you know, my last resort is asking Boris for permission to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still time because, you know, if he does turn around and say, listen, you know, you can do it, Tony, I can still get hold of everyone and get it sorted for next week.
Good one, mate. Look, has he been getting everything else sorted over the weekend that he needs to get sorted in Brussels? Maybe he'll turn his attention to the world pie eating. It's good to hear that you've ridden this out, Tony, because... You and a lot of fellow publicans have suffered this year, but you're going to be okay, are you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have 19 bars, actually.
Right.
Trading right to Yorkshire, Cheshire and everywhere. And it's been a hard time, to be quite honest. Every one of my bars is closed on a serious note. I'm thankful we can keep all the staff on. We're a long-established business and we can continue. And we just want to get out of this situation we're in and everybody to be safe. And, you know, let's get back to normal. And I'm sure everyone in the country and the world is saying the same thing.
Yeah, hopefully not too long. Well, look, Tony, rest assured, if we're still here, we'll be talking to you again next year. And if you can get the tournament back and you do it when you return to business, and let us know and we'll have a chat.
Do a show from there.
We will do a show. We've always said we'll do a show from there.
You know, it's about time you did as well. Everybody else has on it. You too.
I've not been up to Wigan for years.
It's been a long time.
Well,
I think we'll have to put that in.
Yeah, go and watch some rugby league while we're up there, can't we?
Excellent.
All the best, Tony. Have a good Christmas.
All right, look after yourself, lad. See you later.
There we are, this Tony Callan there, the owner of Harry's Bar in Wigan and 18 other bars. Good here, he's ridden it out, which is great news. But no World Pie Eating Championships, barring a very, very late reprieve from the Prime Minister, which I doubt it is forthcoming. So we've asked you this afternoon off the back of the Bamford watching Haaland videos to improve his play. Who you've modelled yourself on? I used to love watching Football Italia on Channel 4, says Richard, the Arsenal fan. Maldini was my favourite player. Blimey. Yeah. Talk about set the bar high.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to always make sure I had the number 3 shirt. Yeah, Unfortunately, back then, cultured defenders weren't as welcome as they are today. Rather than playing out from the back, I'd get the coach or parents constantly shouting, "Don't mess with the ball. Get rid of it." He said, unfortunately, I usually ignored it. Talking of which, there was a lovely line from Lloyd Griffiths this week. He was watching his team play Grimsby, and I don't think they won during the week. And he said, watching Liverpool play out from the back is a delight. Watching Grimsby play out from the back is like watching my mum try and do a Zoom call.
Yeah, I know what he means.
It doesn't suit every division and players of certain standards, of course.
One listener heard me comparing my bowling to the late, great Derek Shackleton.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know if he said, I've seen your bowling, Ed. He said, it's more like a Shackleton chair. So I looked up, it's a chair for old people that doesn't move.
Oh, nice, nice.
Thanks.
In my playing days in the late 90s, says Ian, I played as a centre-half. Being a Chelsea fan, I tried to model myself from Frank Leboeuf. But whilst I thought I was a cultured centre-half in that mould, my teammates felt I was a bit closer to the slightly less cultured Mickey Droy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still an effective player, though, Mickey Droy, in
very
his
effective,
day.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I heard Fred Seria, the first date's maitre d'.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm a bit French there.
You did.
On the breakfast show the other day with Alan. I think it was yesterday, so it was good. And his daughter, did you see this? Teen diver, yeah. Andrea Spendolini Seria, has won the BBC Young Spurts.
Young.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Pardon?
Young Sports.
Young Spurts Personality of the Week. You mark. Mark Lawrence, isn't it, at the moment?
Rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Young Sports Personality of the Year. Which is, it's such a shame she's not a tennis player, isn't it, with a name like that?
Yeah, that's
what can you do?
You cannot be serious, cool. I'd have to say to
exactly.
Well, do you know, normally, Andy, you bring us news of a Brussels sprout shortage this time of year.
What's happened?
There's a bumper crop.
Oh, for goodness
Brussels
sake.
Brussels sprout farms are reaping a bumper Christmas crop because of the warm summer. Farmer Richard Simpkins, who, 69, says numbers are up 20%.
Thank goodness you told us he was 69.
Are up 20%. Wow. So this is great news. So we won't have a sprouts shortage.
Well, that's got to be news.
I know you would have loved this, Andy. It is got to be news. Yeah. I know you would have enjoyed this.
I was hoping that one would slip by without you noticing.
Nigella's show the other day, apparently instead of saying microwave, she said microwavey. And, you know, I don't know if it was an affectation, she was being daft, she can't really pronounce it like that, or something
what's
like that.
What's happened to her?
Well, I've got no idea what's happened to her. But, of course, then people took to social media to comment on it in their droves. And I just want you to contemplate, Andy, everything that's gone on this year in the world, right? Yeah. As I tell you that one person tweeted, the way Nigella just pronounced microwave is the defining moment of 2020. Mate, you should be taken off of all social media. You should basically take a hammer to their smartphone.
The media, when they report a story and they like to supplement it with Twitter quotes and backups, and often they sort of give the people a full name. But there's one here. It's a bit like, you know, when you speak to people and they assume that you know their friends. They'll say, oh, Gene was saying, and I don't know who Gene is. And why are you talking about it as if
you
I know
this
about
all the time.
Well, I don't
got
do
some
this.
Neck. Yeah.
I don't.
Well, I was talking to Fred the other day. No. Like, who's Fred? I know Fred from 15. Maureen's. Who's Maureen?
I don't do that. Louise Redknapp keeps her Christmas tree fresh by feeding it vodka and lemonade. Apparently,
wow.
Louise.
I'm going round this. You can all volunteer to be a Christmas tree, can you?
Has anyone else heard of giving you a Christmas tree?
Them?
Well, I wouldn't imagine it's any good at all. But anyway, so she put it on social media. Simon replied, "Hey Lou, it definitely is." Who's Simon? We don't say who he is.
Oh, you know Simon, Maureen's boy, number 15.
Exactly.
Him with the hair. That one with the hair and the arm.
I can't believe you haven't done the Beckham's planning news. God.
No, but I didn't say I missed it.
Front page.
I don't know if Max is interested
story.
In planning news. I don't know if
it, no,
I mean,
it was on today.
It's only me and you're interested in that. That's our thing, Andy.
Beckham's super cellar holds 3,000 wine bottles. The Beckhams are getting into the Christmas spirit by planning a wine super cellar.
That Christmas tree is going to be in good shape at the end of that, isn't it?
It's good, isn't it? Mm. They've put their plans before the local council. Revising an original application approved in June. Mm. So it sounds like I can't see any problem with it myself. Not that I'm on the planning committee, but...
I wouldn't expect you to be on the planning committee, to be quite honest.
No.
So, anything else you want to talk about you've noticed this week?
What else? Well, you may have talked about this, the Alexa updating people with the laws of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? So if you say, Alexa, tell me about the offside rule.
Yeah. If you know what? I tried it and I got a very dry description. I saw Max mentioned it yesterday. I tried it and I got
I thought you might mention
it. I got a very dry description of it from Wikipedia. If that's their marketing campaign for Christmas, they need to work a bit harder. Anyway.
I tried Alexa, can you stop Anthony Taylor ruining big games by sending people off for nothing?
Okay.
And they said,
what did they say?
We'll try.
We'll try. Of course they did.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Time then to look at a week of sport on TV in the company of Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. Are you okay?
Yeah, yes. We're good, thank you. We were talking about this Stirling Moss documentary earlier on. I imagine that's something else you'll be looking at. But there's a documentary you have watched, Storyville on the Beeb, which I'm going to watch this weekend, all being well. So, sounds very interesting. Tell us about it.
Well, it is interesting. More than that, it's hilarious.
Right.
It's a Storyville documentary called Red Penguins, Murder, Money and Ice Hockey. And basically, I mean, actually one of your listeners recommended it to me, and I'm glad he did. It was really good. It's about the Pittsburgh Penguins buying into the Red Army ice hockey team in Moscow just after the breakup of the Soviet Union, when, to be honest, life in Russia, from what you could see in this documentary, was just chaotic, absolutely chaotic. So you can imagine how this went, because, you know, everything was being run by gangsters. Can you hear me okay, buddy?
Yeah, of course. Yes, we're taking hanging on your every word.
No, I'll tell you what it is. I've had very patchy internet all morning in the broadcasting centre here at Wakefield. And it's meant basically if anybody in Wakefield has answered an email, my internet's gone down. So as long as you can hear me, I'll press on. So anyway, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they buy into the Red Army ice hockey team in Moscow. And they bring in this guy called Stephen Warshaw, who's basically at the centre of the documentary. He's their marketing chief, and he's well up for it. The more chaotic it is, the happier he is. I mean, he turns up there. He's partnering with two guys called Valery Gushin and Viktor Tikhonov, who are the two guys who are currently running it. And of course, they're as corrupt as hell. The level of corruption is unbelievable, but hilariously funny, these guys. One of the guys says, have you seen my teeth? None of them my own, and gives a big smile. The rink is, yeah, where they play, the stadium is, underneath it there's a strip club with girls in cages.
Oh, right.
And it's just hilarious scenes of that. I mean, this guy Warshaw decides that he's going to use these striptease artists as the cheerleaders, right, for the Russian team. So he does all that, but they don't quite understand how cheerleaders work, and they assume it's just a sort of adjunct to their stripping work.
Oh dear.
So as they go round following the Zamboni, the big Zamboni.
The ice machine, yeah.
Precisely, the ice machine. So they follow that, but they're discarding items of clothing as they go.
Oh dear.
It's part of the pre-match entertainment. And they also organise a free beer day. And Steve Warshaw, who's telling all this story back in the States now, after threats on his life and everything, is telling how you've got, they have this free beer day, and you've got kids 14, 15, 16 years old drunk in the stadium.
Oh, no.
It was just unbelievable. But he went back to the States and sold it to, he marketed it to various concerns, including Disney. And Disney promised to put in like $100 million into this Russian ice hockey franchise. But of course, once the Russians got wind of this, and it was 40% of the economy apparently was run by gangsters at that point. And don't forget, this is just after Russia left the Soviet Union, and they gloriously grabbed, or at least the sort of criminal element had gloriously grabbed the opportunity of free enterprise. And they started ripping off by quite large amounts the Pittsburgh people, and by implication Disney as well.
Wow.
Disney, of course, pulled out of the deal immediately when they saw, they saw what was going on. It's all very cheerfully told, this story.
Sounds good.
I mean, Disney, who will sue you if you use an image of Mickey Mouse? Mm. They're not going to stand for these Russians. And eventually, of course, the whole thing, the whole thing collapsed.
Are you speaking from bitter experience? Have you used an image of Mickey Mouse?
Yes. Have you just Martin Cohen Mickey Mouse collection?
Mickey Mouse Productions, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, of course.
So
it's Red Penguins, Murder, Money, and Ice Hockey is available.
Brilliant.
You'll
really enjoy it. I mean, that's only half the jokes. Yeah. It's absolutely hilarious.
Now, One Man in His Shoes, we spoke about this documentary with the guy behind it a little while ago. It sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. It's a story, basically. Obviously, we've seen the Michael Jordan story on Netflix anyway. But this is the story of how the deal was wrapped up with Nike and what it meant. And, the significance of that deal is just, phenomenal. There's a 23-year-old Michael Jordan on Letterman. So you see on there, and he puts his feet up on the desk to show the shoes.
Just to show the shoes off, nice.
Yeah. And Letterman tells us to put his feet down and all that. But, Nike, 1984, absolutely on their uppers. I mean, you forget that. It's such a pervasive brand now. You forget that in 1984, Converse, Adidas, those were the brands.
Mm.
Nike needed to look at what the market was for, for sportswear, basketball shoes, and as one of the experts on this, a lot of talking heads on it, 16-year-old black boy. They were the guys who were going to make this brand cool. And they Michael Jordan, who was only a third pick, apparently, in the draft, But anyway, so they got, you know, they logged into here. It's a lot of interesting detail in this because it was the 1980s, it was the Reagan years, recession, and all that. And towns like Detroit were absolutely falling to bits and everything. So there's lots of, you know, lots of colour in it. Well worth watching. And the actual executive, it wasn't even a high level executive, Sonny Vaccaro, lots of stuff with him. Well worth watching.
It's excellent. Cool.
And it's on the iPlayer, One Man in His Shoes, yep. A Storyville documentary on BBC.
Now, something I've downloaded and not watched yet is the three-parter Inside Hearts. Give us a brief, well, I've watched a bit of it actually, but give us a brief flavour of that.
Well, again, as we know, you know, for Hearts, it was a disastrous time. This is the story of how one club and its owner survived the most extraordinary season in Scots football history. They had Craig Levein there. The players seemed to respect him, but, you know, he obviously wasn't doing much because the team were right down at the bottom. I like the chairman, Anne Budge, who she's looking through a quote, she's sort of answering all the letters and there's a pile of correspondence at a very low point for Hearts, and she sort of gives a little commentary on this. She says, I've got a lot of correspondence to deal with, not all of it positive. I thought, well, that's got to be the understatement of the year. So there was a lot of a lot of antipathy towards her, and but she looks like your nan. She's a sort of, well, oh, yeah. Not my nan, obviously. My nan's long gone. More of a reference to you people, but you know, bless her, she had hearts. She was a true jambo. She had hearts at her absolute core. Yeah. And I like that when Daniel Stendel, who was also obviously a failure coming after Craig Levein, when he took over, they made it home by playing 99 Luftballon as he walked out onto the pitch, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yes,
a little bit Route 1. Yes, the many other German tunes they could have chosen, which would have been less appropriate, to be honest. You know,
that's very true.
Of the soundtrack of Cabaret.
So it's a three-parter. But have you caught them all yet, Martin? Are you still going?
No, I've watched the first two, and I shall watch the third one. Automatically. Oh yeah, I'll see it through.
Well, BBC Scotland again. Yeah. I was saying to Ali Ross the other day. Produce a lot of very good documentaries. The Davy Robinson one was excellent. If you've seen that, both very good. So they produce some good work. So
they're sort of View from the Terraces, which they do each week, which is a bit of a chat show. That's really good as well. Yeah. You know, so BBC Scotland, they're well into that.
Martin, you're back overnight on Talk Sport and Talk Radio.
Yes, if I'm allowed a decent internet connection, I'll be definitely on at 1 o'clock in the morning.
We just make sure that nobody in Wakefield between 1 and 6 sends an email, gets online. That seems to be the key.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We were asking you earlier on who you'd modelled yourself on as a footballer. And Peter said, I always thought of myself as a Jimmy Johnson small ginger winger. I still get called Jink in Edinburgh. And they got me a top with Jinky on the back for my last game. So obviously they bought into that.
Yeah.
Wes says, I base my darts on Simon Whitlock. I sometimes sellotape my mum's feather duster to my chin. It doesn't help me play any better, but it does make me sneeze more. I don't quite believe that.
I don't believe it at all.
And what about this one? One for the teenagers. Roger Clifford says, I was a nippy winger and I based myself on Dave Wagstaff, showing my age there. The manager said, go out there and make a name for yourself. The match didn't go well. Trudging off, the manager said, well, you certainly made a name for yourself. Unfortunately, it's unrepeatable. So thanks for all of those this afternoon. Let's have a look at a week of sport. No, I keep doing that. Again. A week of non-sport. A weekend of non-sport, even. I'll get there in the end. With Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Guy Butters, to answer your question.
You modelled yourself on Guy Butters?
Physique-wise. Guy Butters now.
Nice. So you know. Okay, brilliant.
Fair enough.
I
took your advice last week and watched Neil Brand's show.
Yes.
It was quite intellectual.
It was the Sound of TV.
Sound of TV, but it was very enjoyable.
It is intellectual. Yeah, I mean, it's it is musicology, as I think the terminology is. But so you have to kind of wade through a fair bit of that. But at least it's different because, as we say, you could do these things and make them all about the nostalgia thing, which is fine. But it has been done a million million and one times before. So we've got episode two of that tonight, 9 o'clock BBC Four. And this time it's all about, to be honest, it's my favourite episode of the three. It's all about adverts.
Music that's been used in adverts over the years.
Music that's been used in adverts and a little bit of jingles as well. So there's quite a long bit about the how they put together the music for the BBC News over the years. So, but yeah, adverts that we remember fondly, and the fact that those tunes... the woman vacuuming her carpet while
shake and vac lady, yeah,
I'd forgotten they actually revived that advert and they brought her back about 30 years later and did a new version of it. And then of course the robots, the Smash robots, and what have you. Yeah, and Elvis Costello in the Lemonade advert that I grew up with.
Well, Elvis Costello's dad
he wrote it.
Yeah, singing the song, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, because it was Elvis Costello's real name is Declan McManus. His dad was
Ross McManus.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a singer with Joe Loss's band.
It's a relative of Andy, so he brought it back to the family.
Well, I'm a secret lemonade drinker. I've never been a secret lemonade drinker.
It's not the sort of thing you need to do in secret, particularly, is it? To be an open, you can be an out lemonade drinker.
Yeah, but I think he was doing. He was sneaking down to the fridge in the middle of the night.
Not advisable these days, really.
What's that, sneaking down the fridge in the
middle of the night and having a lemonade? I mean,
let's not look at the health and safety aspects
of it.
Beef
for the teeth.
I know, it was an advert, Andy. I mean, no one...
I thought you meant you'd just be up all night.
Why is that factor?
Well, he does that anyway. So,
I don't need our whites for that.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, we've got Strictly.
Yes.
And again, Bill Bailey, he's getting better and better, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, he is, you know, he's once... I mean, I can't imagine, even if he finishes in the dance-off tomorrow night, he's... You know, it's the semi-final. There's five left. They each have to dance twice because it's going to be ridiculously quick otherwise. So they'll do two different dances. And yeah, obviously then we're one step away from the big one. Although we lost, I don't, if we were five, I don't quite know how this works out because Nicola Adams had to pull out.
Mm.
I thought we'd have fewer than that by now. But anyway, I don't know.
How long is this on? I mean, the thing with Strictly, you know, it often goes on for about 4 days, doesn't
it? Yes, very much so. Have I ever told you about the one they do in France?
I watched
it when I was in Paris once. My wife and I had a romantic weekend in Paris. So obviously on Saturday night, we sat and watched their version of Strictly on French TV. And it goes on forever. It actually really does go on for hours. It's like the Eurovision Song Contest.
Wow.
Everything's done live. And then they do the voting off. And they have a different scoring system. So the judges determine who's in the bottom two. And the public don't have any say until right at the end when the bottom two dance at the same time to the same
What was the point
dance.
Of having a revolution?
Yeah, that's very,
seriously.
Very French.
What was the point?
I've become very friendly with the props guy from Strictly Come Dancing.
Have you? Really?
Yes.
Is
because,
that useful?
Well, he's a very
what
interesting
props
man.
Are
he's
involved?
Won, oh, I mean, there's a lot of
for
props.
For the dancers.
Oh, yeah,
do.
For the dancers. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I thought most of it was CGI this time around, isn't it? Because they've done a lot.
Oh, no, he's still busy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's part of a group of about five of us that queue up to go do supermarket shopping Saturday morning at about 8 o'clock. Yeah.
So he is. He's become your supermarket chums.
He's won a BAFTA, this fella.
I'm not surprised.
I never meet people like that in the supermarket queue.
Yeah, I mean, Andy's great. Andy has this great life where he meets people. I just go to the supermarket and come home again.
Yes.
He's either going to meet them and go on with them or have a fight with them, one or the other.
Yeah.
Now, you do say, isn't Channel 5 fantastic?
It is.
They've given us, is this a full hour? This is
Roses
versus Quality Street
Chocolate Box Wars.
An hour of TV.
Yeah, and it is war, you know. I mean, I just love the fact that the inventiveness of Channel 5 never ceases to amaze me. They just have this ability to pluck an idea out of thin air. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
We can fill that, you know. And it's, you know, effectively people just celebrating various different
They're just saying the names of different sweets. It's like brown sauce or red sauce. I've got no time for any of this sort of stuff. But anyway, people seem to like it.
Unless they ring you up and ask you if you want to.
Yeah, it's a nice little straight £250 just to say,
well,
I like the chewy toffee ones. Ka-ching.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe it's gone up, Mike. Maybe they offered you less.
I think I was paid in guineas the last time I was asked
to be a talking head in one of these shows. And they do drive you mad because they'll often show a clip from the 50s or something. And, you know, I love 1733. And someone from
Kate Thornton.
Somebody on TV will say, oh, I remember that. We only remember it because you watched the DVD the production company sent you.
And I have
a check for £250.
And I actually do when I watch them. I watch these people And then I sit there looking up on Wikipedia to see how old they are and doing the sums while the program's on, rather than watching the program, thinking, yeah, you were four. So you have vivid, vivid memories of
this.
Oh,
I remember that episode of Mary, Mungo and Midge. Yeah. You weren't even born.
You shout at the telly.
Yeah. So we spoke to...
this section's become like Gogglebox.
Yeah, we spoke to Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse the other day, and they've done a Christmas Gone Fishing.
So can't wait. It's my favourite programme on telly.
They've gone up to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob's old neck of the woods.
A whole hour. Mm. And it'll whiz by. I was hoping to see a preview of it, but it's still in the editing stages.
All right,
anyway. But I'm really, really looking forward to that Sunday night BBC Two at 8:10. It does work on so many levels, and it feels so unforced as well, doesn't it? I mean,
Your comment in your notes, grayling is what they're hoping to catch, the fish that is, rather than Chris Grayling, the former transport.
They've got to hunt Chris Grayling. The hunt for Chris Grayling.
I think that would be great.
I did say to them the other day when they were on with me and Max that, you know, don't go changing. How often when you're doing series four of a show that someone says, we got to do this, we can't just do the same thing. But it's like slow TV. The whole point of this show, as I said, it's like spending a quality half hour with pair of you without the swearing.
It is, yeah. Really? Yeah. Don't jump the grayling.
Yeah, that's right. Very
good.
So that's 8.
Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate that.
Yeah, that's good.
Paul just ignored it.
I know, I thought it was good.
I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Join the club, mate.
8:10 on Sunday night, that is. 9:00 Sunday night. Des O'Connor, the ultimate entertainer.
Oh, that's nice.
Some talking heads, people who actually knew Des and worked with him over the years, will be paying tribute to him.
Yeah, Bradley Walsh, Jimmy Tarbuck, Jonathan Ross, and Melanie Sykes, of course, who did the little chat show with him, didn't she, for several series some while back. Yeah. And nobody quite liked Des O'Connor, was there, really, in a way, because he was fantastically self-deprecating, but obviously, you know, he was a great old-fashioned all-round entertainer. But could genuinely take a joke.
I think comedians loved him. Sorry, Paul. Yes. Because he would allow you. Basically, he was a great straight man.
Well, it's like a lot of those great American chat shows. You know, Bradley had come on, or a young comic. A lot of young comics. Dominic Holland was saying to us, wasn't he, that he went on the show and Des would say, I understand you've just got back from the States and you could go and do 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes of your best material on prime time. And he was very generous. But I mean, one of the last things he did was Alien Fun Capsule with Harry Hill, which I had a small involvement with. Mm. And he was brilliant. I mean, he was really sharp and still very funny and his timing was great. So, yeah, he was top draw. So that'd be very good. The dog's doing what? The dog's doing...
She's found my bag with my swimming kit on the floor and she's started taking the...
She's not put your trunks on, is she? Yeah, you want to get her on That's Life. Never bring that back.
Yeah, sorry.
Fantastic.
About that.
Dog's got a pair of goggles on.
Are you pool or you're in the South Coast area? Did you just step into the sea? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What? Me?
You're swimming, yes.
Oh, swimming. Oh,
he's not swimming in the sea. How cold it is this time of year.
I've dipped a toe, or probably 10, to be honest.
We've got to know you a bit, Mike. You don't strike me as the most intrepid of men. Is that fair or is that
you
not
know me
fair?
And Cole, that's 100% fair. Yeah. In fact, that's generous.
Okay. Brilliant. We're running out of time. We will catch up with you next week. Fun. Have a good weekend, Mike.
Thanks
very much.
Guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy, you're back with us on Monday.
I am, yes. It's all being well, and a lot of people I know caught up with the news about Sue on the podcast last week, so I'd say she had a good week, she's doing well, and we're optimistic.
Brilliant, that is great to hear. So Andy back on Monday. Until then, thanks for listening, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.